Mr. Paolo Gentiloni, President of the Council of Ministers of Italy, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Secretary of State of Holy See, Mr. Achim Steiner, Administrator of UNDP, Mr. Gilbert Hongbu, President of IFAD, Mr. David Beasley, Executive Director of WFP, Honorable Ministers, Ambassadors, Distinguished Guests, Ladies and Gentlemen. I would like to start welcoming all of you again to this section. During this week, we will have the presence of one President, one Prime Minister, one Deputy Prime Minister, 82 ministers registered at the moment, 16 vice ministers, 176 member states delegations, and a total of 1,109 participants registered, including many international organizations, private sector, and civil society representatives. This is a clear reflection of the importance of food and agriculture for sustainable development, as we have just heard from Prime Minister Gentiloni and Cardinal Parolin. We have to fully explore the contributions that sustainable agriculture and food system can give for the 23rd agenda. This is why we have prepared for this conference 19 side events during the week. At least six of those are linked to climate change, that is the theme of this conference. Climate change is today one of the main challenges we are facing. We will have opportunity to discuss the relationship between climate change and food security, nutrition, water scarcity, migration, and other issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could announce here today some good news regarding the global fight against hunger, as I did in our last conference in 2015. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Preliminary data available for this year indicate that the number of unnourished people in the world has increased to rise again. The final number will be only available next September, when we will launch the State of Food Security and Nutrition, the SOFI 2007. But unfortunately, these are not good news. I'm sure that you are not entirely surprised for this. Early this year, famine was declared in some parts of Africa, particularly in South Sudan. And by the time the famine is declared, it means that thousands of people have already died from hunger. Alerts of the high risk of famine were also issued for Northeast Nigeria, Somalia, the Yemen, as you heard from the Prime Minister here today. Nearly 20 million people, we estimate, that are heavily affected in those countries. And this is happening less than 2 years after we agreed to eradicate hunger by 2030. Strong political commitment to eradicate hunger is fundamental, but it's not enough. Hunger will be only defeated if countries translated their pledge into concrete action, especially at national and local level. There is where the people eat. Today, conflicts and the impact of climate change pose increased challenge to our global efforts to eradicate hunger and extreme poverty. FAO currently has identified 19 countries in a protected crisis situation. All those 19 countries are engaged in internal conflicts and violence, often combined with a diverse climatic events. We have recently hosted a seminar here that showed that when linked conflict and drought is the worst scenario for food security. And that is unfortunately happened. Almost 6% of the people suffering from hunger in the world live in areas affected by conflict and impact of climate change. They are predominantly rural people. Their livelihoods have been disrupted. Many of them have no option other than increasing the statistics of distress migration. In fact, the number of refugees and internally displaced persons has doubled from 2007 to 2015 to nearly 60 million people. And you see every day morning in the news how Italy is particularly suffering from this. Peace is, of course, the key to end this crisis. But we cannot wait for peace to take action. There's much we can do to fight hunger during conflicts and protect the crisis. And I am happy to have here with me my dear friends from WFP and IFAD that are our partners working hard to assist vulnerable people in those areas under conflict. We combine humanitarian assistance with development actions to protect and restore their livelihoods. It is extremely important to ensure that these people that have the conditions to continue producing their own food where they live. To save lives, we have to save their livelihoods. We cannot save people and put them in camps. At the launch today, during the Zero Hunger side event, we will elaborate better our ideas how to fight hunger in this very difficult moment we are facing. On Thursday, FAO is also organizing a special event on conflict and famine, bringing the ministers of the country most affected. We will present concrete actions and also share results, what has been achieved so far. Excellencies, this conference marks another important step in FAO transformation process. The program of work and budget of FAO for the next biennial and the medium-term plan for 2018-21 have been completely aligned with FAO work with the Sustainable Development Goals. In other words, our five strategic objectives of FAO will have the same targets of many of the SDGs that we are involved. FAO work is projected to contribute to achieve at minimum 40 targets of the 15 SDGs that we are most involved. This is full alignment as being possible because of the centrality of food and agriculture in the 23rd agenda. And also because over the last 5 years, FAO adapted and interconnected our objectives in a similar approach of the SDGs. In the next biennial, FAO intends to increase its technical capacity in 10 priority areas. Those areas are listed for you. It includes climate change, mitigation and adaptation, sustainable agriculture production, poverty reduction, water scarcity, migration, and the support of people affected by conflict. We will continue our work on nutrition, fisheries, forestry, and AMR, antimicrobial resistance. And we are bringing the technical cooperation program to the minimum level of 14% of the budget requested by last conference. Let me also observe that the SDGs will greatly impact our work in statistics. Just to compare, FAO was responsible for only 4 indicators when we were dealing with the Millennium Development Goals, the MDGs. Now, FAO will be involved in 25 custodian or co-custodian indicators. That means 6 times the work we had previously. The program implementation report that we just present shows that what we achieved during the past biennium. And I'm glad to announce that 90% of the output indicators were fully achieved, and 2/3 of the targets were exceeded. So we are doing our job, I would say minimum in a good way. FAO is delivering, and this is producing an important impact at the global, regional, and especially at national level. This is also a result of the decentralization program that we are pushing for. And it is a great satisfaction to see that member countries are officially recognized that today FAO is much more efficient and effective. National reports from many development countries now list FAO as an organization that really gives value for money. This performance is a result of internal restructuring effort while sharpening the focus of the organization. And more important, we have been able to rearrange our organization without affecting our technical capacity. This is the conclusion of an independent report assessment on technical capacity just presented early this year. The report shows in quantitative terms that FAO has increased its technical capacity during 2012 to 2016, in headquarters here, but also in the field. We are missing a qualitative approach that will be undertaken next opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, since I took office in 2012, we have been operating with the same nominal budget. That means a real decrease in the last 3 biennia. Despite that, we have found $116 million in savings due to efficiency gains and reprofiling of administrative jobs. We took posts in administrative and bureaucratic area and changed them to technical areas. But I have to say that we have cut to the bone. We cannot continue in this path for the future. For the next biennium, we are also emphasizing that we got about 20 million to be able to invest in our priority areas. We now have to look for the reality the countries are facing, difficult financial constraints in this moment. This is why I have chosen to propose to keep the same level of the budget again for next biennium. FAO Council has endorsed this proposal and recommended this conference to approve it. I hope you can do it. In this context, I ask you to remember about voluntary contributions. More than ever, this is needed to keep FAO progressing in our program of work. We have elaborated an information note that explains all the priority areas we want to allocate our voluntary contributions received. And let me renew my appeal, especially for developed countries. due to special circumstances, we'll see next biennium, in general, developed countries will pay less in the assessment contribution. We'll pay 70 million less. So I urge all developed countries especially to keep here in FAO this money that will exceed your total contribution next biennium. Ladies and gentlemen, let me conclude by saying that despite recent setbacks in the fight against hunger, as I announced, we're still very confident that we'll become the zero hunger generation. We have the global commitment, and we have the tools and knowledge to achieve it. And this is the fight for everyone, not for FAO, IFAD, and WFP alone. We need all of you on board. The SDGs are universal, and it could not be different today what happens in rural areas of Africa, Asia, or Latin America has impact in many other parts of the world. Migration just showed that. There is no peace without sustainable development, but also there is no sustainable development without peace. Vulnerable people, rural people cannot be left behind, especially when we look to youths and women in Africa. We have to build conditions for them to thrive, for them to have hope, for them to exercise their human right to food. Ending hunger is at the core of FAO mandate, also promote sustainable development. I thank you very much for your attention.